thank the Lord today for his goodness and his mercy to us. Last week we spoke about God's mercy to us and how he looked down on mankind and had such great mercy. We were all sinners and going our own way, and yet he looked down in mercy and offered his son that we might be saved. A great, great mercy he showed us. But he expects that that mercy would go on. He expects that we would have the same kind of mercy. So the message this morning is entitled, Mercy's Yardstick. And we're going to start in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. It says, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam in thy own? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So what we have here is instruction about what we are to do to others. The yardstick by which we are judged is by how we treat others. So it says here, judge not that ye be not judged. In other words, what it means is that when we see things or we hear about things or some news comes our way, that we are not to go ahead and just start passing judgments in our mind about it. We're not supposed to start saying, well, that doesn't sound like something that should be going on, or that seems like that shouldn't be what a Christian does, or this or that, and we start passing all these different kinds of judgments. But it says, judge not that ye be not judged. Because what does God know about us? He knows every intricate part of us. He knows everything that he has revealed to us that we have changed in our life. He knows everything that he has revealed to us that we are working on in our life. And he knows everything that we don't have any idea we have on hand. And he's just showing mercy over the top of it.
That's true, Lord.
So it says, judge not that ye be not judged. Those that are quick to go to judgment, God is going to quickly judge them. It says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
Yes.
If you're quick to come to conclusions about people, God is going to measure you the same kind of way. Which with measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again.
Yes.
If I think that, oh, they shouldn't be doing that because they're a Christian, God is going to say, well, you shouldn't be doing this because you're a Christian. Why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Do you know what? We spend way too much time in our brother's eye. We spend too much time thinking about what he's doing, why he's doing it, how he's doing it, trying to figure out and look at it and say, well, they shouldn't be doing it, or this shouldn't be happening, or that only happened because they did so and so. We spend a lot of time in our brother's eye,
Lord,
trying to pick out all his specs, trying to pick out all the little things in his eye, trying to just measure him up and everything, even though we may never say anything to them. But our minds are consumed with picking all of those things out of our brother. We identify them, classify them, and then say whether they should know it or they shouldn't know it. And then we say, well, they're just not following close enough to God, or they would know this by now. So we spend too much time in our brother's eye. But where are we supposed to be spending our time? in our own eye. We're supposed to be looking for all the beams in our own eye. Because this is the thing. The Lord, we see things about other people. We see little things that they're doing or whatever. Why is it that we never seem to see anything about ourselves until God points it out? Why is that? Why is it we can't see anything about ourselves till God points it out? But we're willing to point it out on somebody else. But yet we can't come to any knowledge or understanding until God points it out to us.
Right.
It says, or how wilt thou say to the brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and there's a great big old beam in yours.
Yeah.
And so as you're carefully trying to pull this mote out of your brother's eye, as you're trying to be so maybe kind and understanding, and you're trying to say, oh brother, you know, I just noticed that so-and-so happened, and I just wanted to encourage you that it, you know, that there's another way that God can lead you, and we can be being so delicate, trying to pull this little mote out of our brother's eye, when we haven't spent any time that day at all praying about our own being, praying about our own eye and what we have in it. And the scripture says, thou hypocrite. Hypocrite. First. It says first. I want you to take note. It says first. Cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. What happens when we discover stuff about ourselves?
Huh.
What happens when we discover we have these beams? Because everybody's discovered them. Everybody has been through something that they looked on it, and when God exposed it, they looked at it, and they were so ashamed.
Yes.
That this had been living in their life all this time, that they'd been calling themselves a Christian, but they didn't know anything about it. And we get ashamed.
Yes.
Okay, if we have shame over what we've done, then are we going to see clearly to go in and start picking at somebody's mote? I think what will happen is that I don't think that we'll feel like we need to even touch their mote. I think we will feel like that, oh Lord, you just take care of that, because this thing here is so big.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want anybody to know about this. I wouldn't want them to know I had these kind of attitudes or things buried down in me that I didn't know anything about, ways of thinking and ways of dealing with problems and ways of dealing with hurts and things. You know, we've put up some really good defenses and things down deep inside of us, and God has to break those all down. And when we discover those things, you know what? It takes all the judgment out of us. We don't feel like doing that anymore. We don't feel like going to our brother. So as long as we still keep feeling like that we want to go after our brother, after his little mote, as long as we keep doing that, we haven't really dealt with our beam properly. We haven't dealt with our beam properly. In Matthew 11, 28, this is how God feels about things. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that something? These people that have been sinners, disobedient, evil, maybe even blasphemers, using God's name in vain, all these different things that people have been doing out there in sin, and he still has the attitude, just come to me, just come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He understands our burdens. He understands what a weight of sin really is, because he carried the weight of sin to the cross. He says, I'll give you rest. You can actually have rest from it. This is how God looks at us. This is how we look at our brothers. We see them struggling with something, or in our minds do we say, well, I knew that was going to happen, or I knew that if they kept down that pathway, this is where it would end up. Or do we see them struggling and everything, even though maybe we did see it, because God does see it, even though we did see it, We're still just concerned about, it's okay, it's okay. Just turn around, head back this way. It's okay. You know, if you're heavy laden, let me help you. Let me try to lift some of the burdens, and let me do this, or let me help you in this way or that way. Do we have that? Or do we end up, do we end up passing people by because they got themselves into it? See, there's a yardstick out there. There's a measurement out there. There's a measurement that gets put on you by the way that you put it on someone else. Amen. You're going to be measured the same way. Do you wonder sometimes, I wonder if sometimes we are surprised and confounded that we are seeking the Lord for something and getting nowhere and getting nowhere and getting nowhere. And I wonder sometimes, is it because we've been using the yardstick and we're being measured out what we measure to somebody else? Maybe that's happening to us now. Because he said that's how he'll be judged. That's it. By how you do this with others. So we've discovered something. We want real help now. We're desperate for it. We're praying and we're fasting and we're this and that. We're not seeming to get any answer. Is it because you've been using the yardstick on somebody? You've been trying to picket moats. Picking and picking and picking. And now the Lord has finally brought judgment around because you judged. And now he's judging you. And he wants you to feel the weight of what you've been doing and what you've been carrying. Has there been a time that God revealed to you that you were just not thinking or being good, thinking good in your mind about somebody? And maybe they really didn't deserve it. It's just that something that we are so caught up with, we are so caught up with how we do things and how this is the right way to do it, that if we see anybody else doing it a different way, we say, can't be right. This is a better way. If they would just look and see and think it out, this is a better way. We are prone. We are prone by sin. When we were growing up, we matured before we got saved. We are prone to look at things in our own light. And we are prone to keep those things even after we're saved, because we don't understand them as wrong. They're just right. They're just good things. They're right. Mark 10, 13 through 16. This is another way that Jesus felt about things. And they brought young children to him. In another place it says, I think infants. So who knows how old these children were. There might have been some that were walking, some that were toddling, and maybe some that were in arms. But anyway, they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Why? Because it's not essential. It's not essential. These people can't do anything for you, Lord. These people can't really be disciples. These little babies can't be disciples. They can't really work for you yet. They can't really do this. We just kind of ignore them, put them off to the side. You know, when they get a little older and they can understand better, then we'll do something with them. Do you know that there are many times there are parents that almost feel that way? They don't start really, you know, working with their children until they get to a certain age. Up until then, it's like, well, they're just little children. They don't know. They don't, or whatever. And you know what you end up with when you don't start disciplining children from a small age? You end up with out-of-control children. But this is how Jesus looked at it. Anyway, the disciples rebuked the people, the mothers and the fathers, that brought these children, that all they wanted, they just wanted Jesus to bless their children. They just wanted him to lay hands on their children. They just thought that, you know, my children, that they might have a better chance if Jesus puts his hands on him, if Jesus prays for him, if he does something, they might have a better chance in this old world. Just bless them. They're not very old yet. They don't really understand you, but if you could just bless them. Isn't that what we did with our own babies? When they were born, didn't we start praying for them? And didn't we start saying, Lord, bless them. We don't know where they're going in this world. We don't know how they're going to grow up. We don't know what's going to happen in their lives that's going to taint them this way or that way. But we know sin is out here and they're going to have to live in it. And didn't we start praying for them and trying to bless them way back there? But the disciples said, no, this can't be any good. There are many, many important people trying to get to Jesus here. People that have sickness and people that are, you know, asking profound gospel questions. And they need real answers. And these little children, no, this isn't necessary. But how did Jesus feel? But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. See, what the disciples didn't know is that they were little children because they didn't know very much either. They didn't understand that they didn't even have a little portion hardly of what Jesus was going to teach them before he left this world. But they thought they knew enough to be able to decide who should see Jesus and who shouldn't see Jesus. So, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms. Think about this. These non-sequential children in the disciples' eyes. Yeah. That they didn't want anything to do with them. They didn't want to hold them. They didn't want to touch them. You know, they just wanted to shoo them away. But Jesus thinks differently, see? Than we do. Jesus wasn't primed. His whole being was not primed for sin. But our whole being was primed for sin and sinful ways and selfish ways and all these different things. We were primed that way when we were out in sin. But he wasn't. And he took them up in his arms. Can you just imagine? I don't know how many children were there. There probably weren't 50 or 60 children there. There was probably just a small company of maybe parents or somebody from the same home or a brother and sister brought their children or whatever. We know that there were some children. We don't know how many, but we know that there probably wasn't a great, great crowd. Just a small little crowd. Took them in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. You know, sometimes our brothers and sisters don't need our advice. They don't need us telling them what they've been doing wrong, and if you'll turn this around, it'll get easier for you. They don't need that. You know what they need? They need to be taken up in our arms. We need to put hands on them, and we just need to bless them. We just need to pray for them and bless them. Rather than trying to correct every little thing we see in their life. Because if that is the case, God is going to take the same measure where we are trying to correct every little thing in their life, and he's going to start correcting every little thing in our life, whether we're ready for it or not. Because, see, that's what you're assuming. You're assuming that they're all prepared and ready for you to correct them about this. God knows he has to get people to a certain stage and a certain place before he can start showing them things, because he needs them softened and he needs them humble and he needs them pliable in his hands so he can begin to mold them so he doesn't bring things that we can't handle. But yet we think that we can handle things very well with our brother. We think that we have the right to go in and talk to him about his faults and his failings and all. He hasn't come to us for advice. No, we're just offering it freely. Just offering it. Lord, help us.
Yes, help the Lord.
Luke 14, 1 through 6. This is another way how Jesus felt. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, and they watched him. He knew he was going into territory that was not a good place for him to be. He knew he was going into the, so to speak, the devil's territory, because they were against him. And they were inviting him to go in and eat on the Sabbath day, but it wasn't because they were joyful in the Sabbath and they were wanting to fill the Sabbath and everything. No, they invited him so they could watch him, see what he was going to do next, that they could tear apart and tell all their people, he can't be from God because he did this. He can't be from God. Because that was their whole message. No, he didn't come from God. So they watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees. Now, why do you think it says answering here? I've often thought, did they ask a question or were they discussing? Maybe they were just discussing some things. And then him answering, maybe they were talking about the Sabbath. Maybe they were talking about all those kinds of things. I don't know. Or it could be that he just read their minds. He just read their minds and knew what they were all thinking. Because you remember in one place it said, that there's another place where it said they watched to see if he was going to heal on the Sabbath. So Jesus answering all of these different things, spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Pertinent question. Good question. Some people would say, good question. And it goes on, and they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. They held their peace. They didn't start arguing with him. They didn't start doing that. They held their peace. Because why? Because when you're busy trying to trap somebody in their words, you're being very cautious about your words lest they be turned on you. And Jesus had turned words on them many times. They had boasted or said something and then he had turned it and they realized, oh, he's talking about us. And they understood very well. So they held their peace and healed. And answering them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? In other words, the Sabbath day was very strict. And we understand that. It was very strict. But you know what? They still broke things on the Sabbath because of necessity. Things happened. Maybe people died or things happened. They broke the Sabbath. And this is one of the things he used. Well, if you have an ass or a colt and they fall into a pit, in other words, they're down there, maybe they're making a lot of noise and maybe they're injured or this or that, you know, you're gonna help them. You're gonna help them. What he was trying to say is that, and what he taught them over and over and over, is that the Sabbath wasn't supposed to be a Lord over us. We were supposed to be a Lord over the Sabbath. And he was the Lord over the Sabbath. He knew exactly what the intention was. And they had gotten the intention a little mixed up. They'd rescue an animal, but not a human.
Right.
Sound a little bit like today?
Right.
Does it sound a little bit like that? Where they've gotten the things a little backwards?
Yes. Sure.
So, and they could not answer him again to these things. They couldn't. They didn't have an answer,
right,
because they all knew they had done those kind of things. So they couldn't answer it, but they were upset about it. And you know, the only reason they complained, Do you know the only reason they complained about him healing on the Sabbath is because it wasn't one of them? They wouldn't have complained about it if he had reached over and healed them.
Right.
It's funny how that we can look at situations that other people are in, and we can think that, well, if I was there, I would do it this way, and I would do it that way, and all these things. But you wouldn't. Because when a whole new, fresh set of circumstances comes upon you, you're going to react in different ways than you are right now. You're only reacting because of the circumstances that are in your life and what you've gone through so far. If it was a different set of circumstances, you would be having some problems along a different line. Why is it that we are so quick to show mercy to ourselves? I made a mistake. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I made a mistake. But we're not willing to look at somebody else and say, oh, bless their hearts, they made a mistake. Is that what we do? Bless their hearts, Lord, they made a mistake. They didn't really mean it to be like that. No, we have a tendency in our minds and our hearts to say, oh, yes, they did. They meant it just like that. They said it just like they meant it. And we're going to be judged by the same measure. Whatever judgment we hand out, whatever we hand out is coming back our way. It is how God is going to measure how to judge us. That's why you have somebody that's full of mercy, full of love, full of all those things. I'm telling you, they are going to have an easier time. Without that whole 13th chapter in Corinthians is about love, saying how important it is. And it doesn't matter about a whole lot of other things if you don't have love. You can speak like an angel, but if you don't have love,
yes.
You can tell the truth, but if you don't have love, if it's not mixed with love, and dear ones, we love ourselves. So how we look at ourselves and how we judge ourselves, we judge with much love because we love ourselves. But we don't have that same love for the other people around us. We're not willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. We're not willing to think that they just made a mistake. We're not willing to say, they didn't mean it like that. We're not willing to do that. So this is another way that Jesus felt about mercy. Luke 13:34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now he's talking to the Jews. He's talking to Jerusalem. He's talking about the Jewish people all down through the ages of time. He's talking about which killest the prophets. They killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together? How often did God gather his children together? How many times did he gather them and bring them out of captivity, gather them and bring them out of Egypt, gather them and bring them here, bring them there? But do you realize that he had to measure them at the same time. So they reached a place where they were humble, and they reached a place where they were crying out for him, and that brought his action. But when they got it, and they got the desire of their heart, and they were free, then they began to turn on God and they began to worship other people, and they didn't want to hear this, and they didn't want that person ruling over them, and they didn't want that prophet talking to them, and they didn't want this and they didn't want that. Because why? Because they were prophesying and preaching, so to speak, against what they were doing. They didn't want to give it up. So that's what was going on. He says, but I would have gathered, but you killed the prophets, you stoned them. As a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. He tried over and over again to bring them what they needed. Over and over. But they would not. They would not do those things that God wanted them to do. And even now, Jesus is right there before him. The Messiah is right there. They still won't do it. They still won't do it. They're still judging. Why was Jerusalem judged so harshly? Why were all of the Jewish leaders judged so harshly? Why was all of Jerusalem destroyed and the temple desecrated and all? Why? Why? Because they were judged by the same measure that they measured out to Jesus. They desecrated him. They tore him down. All those things. And then they killed him. Thought they would be rid of him. Because of their actions towards God's own son. That's why their temple was destroyed. That's why Jerusalem was encompassed about. That's why such horrible sins took place inside of Jerusalem in those walls as those people were starving to death. That's why. Because they were measured. There's a scripture in the Bible, measured and found wanting. They were measured. All right, let's turn to Luke 6. We're going to start at the 27th verse, and we're going to go down through the 38th verse. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. You see the measure here that God expects? Do you see the measurement here? Do you see the measurement? So, who is the measurement we're supposed to be measuring to? Is it the circumstances around us? Is it how the people treat us? And so we have our measured response back to them. Is that how this works? No. He wants us to have these attributes that Jesus showed, where he said, come unto me if you're heavy laden, burdened, come to me. Oh, don't suffer the little children to come unto me. All these things that he had, where he healed on the Sabbath, and other people wouldn't have felt like that was wrong. So they would have just left the man in his horrible condition. All those things. No, what he's saying is, and this is what Jesus did, he had mercy. Because he loved his enemies. He loved them. And he did good unto them. He did. He went around preaching the gospel. It was widespread. They knew all about it. They had the most wonderful thing that was ever going to happen in the Jewish kingdom. The most wonderful thing had just taken place. That he was born, raised up, and was preaching the gospel, and was going to lay his life down for their sins. The Messiah, but they didn't know it. He did good to them that hated him. It says, bless them that curse you. Is this what we do? Because this is the measurement, dear ones. This is how we're to measure things. If somebody is cursing you, your automatic response needs to be a blessing. Pray for them which despitefully use you. This is the measurement. This is the measurement of mercy. This is how we get mercy from God, when we show mercy to others that are trapped in sin doing horrible things. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Is that what we do? There are so many people willing to fight today. Fist fight. Get in somebody else's face. You said words to me. Now I'm going to hit you. Is that a proper response? Is that a proper response? Because if that's a proper response, God should have knocked us all down a long time ago. Because we haven't always, through our lives, had the proper response to God.
Lord, that's so true. So true, Lord.
See, mercy. See, this is God's mercy. This is his yardstick. This is how he shows mercy to you, by how much mercy you show to your fellow man. This is the yardstick, dear ones. There's no sense looking for another one. This is it. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Oh, there's a hard one. There's a hard one. So if somebody asks to borrow our lawnmower, they take it over to their house, they mow their lawn, but they don't bring it back, and they don't bring it back, and they don't bring it back, and they don't bring it back. There are things that happen in life that we're going to have to make judgment calls on. That we're going to have to say, Lord, what would you be more pleased with? Would you be more pleased with me putting out a little money and buying a new lawnmower than to go over there and ask him, because it's been a month now and he still hasn't returned it? What would you be more pleased with, Lord? No, the whole month we're thinking things. We're judging him. We're thinking this, we're thinking that, and all these things. We don't know what's going on, and we don't know why it's there, but we're judging him. Well, he does that with everything. One of my neighbors told me when I moved in, don't ever loan him anything. And we're thinking all these different things.
Yes, help me, Lord.
Help us, Lord.
Yes, help me, Lord.
We need to have mercy. Like God had mercy on our ugly souls.
Amen.
Ugly, depraved souls. And he had mercy on us. We need to have mercy on our fellow man, dear one. We need to hand out the way God handed it to us. We need to hand it out to others. It said, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. As you would have them do to you. Oh, listen, we have some very high expectations of the kind of mercy we want other people to give us.
True.
Did you ever have something go wrong between two people, maybe in your family? Could be husband and wife, could be mother, daughter, could be son, father, could be aunts, uncle, whoever. Did you ever have something go wrong and words were said? And words were said. There are certain things you expect them to do to get back in your good graces. But are you willing to hand out those things as you are to expect them? Are you as willing to do that when God is looking down and he is saying, you are in a horrible, horrible pit of sin. And I didn't even count, I didn't even mark any of that against you. All I said, just come unto me and I'll relieve your burdens. You can have a changed life. You can do differently from here on out. We can work together and conquer all of this world. No, that's not what we do. We have expectations of how others are to treat us, but we are not very good and treating them like we want to be treated. We're not very good at it. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. They love their families. They love their different friends. They love this. You say something against them out in the world, there's a lot of fights take place because somebody says something against their friend. And they said, well, I had to step in and do something because that was my friend. And they'll go to blows and come away all battered and beat up and everything. Sinners will do this, standing up for their ones they love. There's nothing great about that. But they don't care about that person they're beating up. They don't care if he has friends. They don't care if somebody loves him. All they care about is putting him down. Sinners do it. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? Sinners also even do the same. Well, yes. Oh, listen, parents, mothers, and fathers, oh, they'll give them money and food and this and that, and they'll even know that they're not really doing right and they're not really doing this, but their compassion goes out. It's my child. It's my son. It's my daughter. I know they're not really doing right, but I can't stand to see them that they'd have to live in a car or that they would have to do this, or they don't have any food. My compassion goes out. I love them. That's what Jesus did for us. That's how his mercy worked for us. It wasn't because we were good. He knew we were bad. It's because his compassion went out for us. His love went out for us. Even sinners do this. You have all of these fighting groups and all these rival gangs and all these things. They'll do anything for their own gang member.
That's true.
But not anything for that other gang member. He's over there. We have to hate him. We can't love him. We have to hate. We're forced to hate. And yet, that rival gang member, he has people that love him. But nobody cares about anybody else's feelings. Nobody cares about anybody else's love for their own. Nobody cares about that. It's me, 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 whatever satisfies me, and however way I want to do it, that's what I want to do. And God looked down and says, you know what? I'm going to have mercy on you. Even with that attitude, doesn't matter. I'm going to have mercy on you. And we're going to have that same thing. That's what's going to break down all these walls. That's what's going to break down all of these differences, is when we can love over the top of what people do. When we can love them and have mercy on them over the top of what they do. Have mercy. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. In other words, if your good works are just going out there, well, I'm going to lend so-and-so to them because I know they have a good job and they'll be able to pay me back. But this one over here, oh no, he hasn't had a job for 6 months. I'm not lending him any money. I'm never going to get it back. Sinners do that too. They look around and they say, well, who can pay me back and who can't pay me back? And I'll lend to them. See, charity, compassion, love, mercy. Oh, dear ones, we're being measured by this yardstick. This is mercy's yardstick. How we have mercy on others. This is the yardstick. The yardstick, the perfect yardstick, was Jesus Christ. How he had mercy on us. There isn't anything we have experienced that God didn't forgive somebody for. In other words, they did things. So we experienced things. Oh, maybe we had horrible things happen to us. Maybe we were robbed and beat up and all those things. But do you know what? He forgave you when you robbed, when you beat up, when you did things. See, he forgave you for all those things. He forgives souls for these horrible things that you cannot. God wants you to. Mercy's yardstick. How we do this with others is mercy's yardstick. For us. See, the yardstick is applied to us. We're applying the yardstick to others. But Jesus is all the time applying mercy's yardstick to us. How do we measure up? Because who's the perfect one? Jesus. So how do we measure up in terms of his mercy? How do we measure up with that? 35. But love ye your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing. Love your enemies, do good and lend.
Help me, Lord.
Love your enemies now. We're not talking about your friends, your family. Mm-hmm. And your reward shall be great. Do we want a reward? Do we want a reward? A great reward. Do we want it? Well, see, it might not be in your hands this minute. We all want a very speedy reward. That's what happens out in sin. They want a speedy happiness or joy or whatever. They just go out there and they want the thrill. They don't want the long-term happiness because you have to work with that. You have to work for long-term happiness with commitments and love and restraint. And they don't want that. They just want the instant gratification. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is. I want you to see this. This is who Jesus is. This is who God is. He's kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Are we kind to the unthankful and evil? No. You know what we say? Well, they just didn't show very much. They didn't seem to be thankful or anything. I'm never doing that again. Because they didn't show any thankfulness. I gave them a gift, and I never even got a thank you note. I won't be doing that again. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. Now I'm talking about evil. We're talking evil here. Do you know that some of us did some very evil things? He was kind to us anyway. Oh, he was kind to us. All the things that he saved us from and kept us from. All the things that even while we were out in sin, he helped us to make that little jog, that little turn. And we went kind of just a little bit different. And we looked over there where we were headed. And we said, oh, look what I would have been mixed up in if I'd have been there. He gives us those little insights. But do we thank God for it? No. No. Because we're evil and unthankful. We don't necessarily in sin pay any attention to God. We don't pay any attention. You know, we say, oh, I was lucky. I was very fortunate. You know. And then sometimes in the probably one of the most mocking ways, oh, the good Lord help me there. Yes. But it's so mocking because you're really not thanking God for getting you out of it. You're just glad you escaped. Yes. Because if you're really thanking God, you would turn to him.
Right.
Like the one leper that came. You would turn to him, but no, you're just glad you escaped. Those other lying lepers, they were just glad they escaped. Yes. And they were headed off to start their new life. Oh, Lord, help us. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Here it is, folks. Mercy. Mercy's yardstick. As Jesus and God have been merciful to you, turn that same kind of mercy on your fellow man. Turn it on your fellow man. Quit thinking evil things about them in your heart. Quit thinking that they're bringing things on themselves. Quit doing all of that. Pray, pray, pray. Have mercy. Touch them. Bless them. Do what you can to raise them up. But don't be just tearing them down all the time. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. This is pretty important here. This is very, very important. Judge not that you be not judged. Oh, listen, sometimes judgment can come quick. Can come quick. We were driving in a car. Some of my relatives and I were driving in a car, and we were behind a truck, and they were going pretty slow. It was a two-lane road. We were going pretty slow. Pretty slow. And there was a car behind me. They just kept going out in the other lane and coming back and going out. You could tell he was just getting nervous and restless. He wanted to go faster and he wanted to do it now. And he wasn't willing to stay, you know, in this lane. And the cars in front of me, one by one, as it got safe, they would go out and around. But then the next car would have to wait for a safe time. And he was just getting reckless and everything. And all of a sudden, he flew out around me and took off. And I said, uh-oh. I said, look at what he's doing, because he's going to pass me and two or three cars in front of me and the truck. And so you see this car coming at him. You see this car coming at him in that lane. And he's just punching it, and he's just going for it, and he's gone so far, he's not backing off. You can tell he's not backing off. And I'm saying, oh no. I thought any minute they're going to crash. You know, it's going to be horrible, because he had to have it now, thinking of nobody else but himself. And that car had to swerve off into the ditch so that he could just barely miss him. But guess what? That car was a policeman. And he flipped on those red lights, and he turned around, and he took off after him. See, sometimes judgment can come quick. When you totally disregard everybody else's safety, totally disregard what they're doing and how they're fighting and how they want to get around this truck too. We're all waiting in line to get around this truck. But I'm not going to wait in line. I don't care about you, and I don't care what happens, and I'll even put your life in danger just so I can have my way. See, sometimes judgment comes quick. Sometimes we wonder, why did that happen to me? You know what? Start going through your life. See if you passed a little judgment somewhere yourself, and so judgment was swiftly cast out on you. See if you condemned something a little bit, and so now you're being condemned. You know, see if you were condemning somebody. Oh, they're doing this, and all of a sudden, here you are at work or your husband or your wife or something, and you're being condemned for something you really didn't do. Maybe you should look at that. Maybe you should see what you've been doing. What maybe brought that your way? Because you know what? These things are true. Whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap.
Right.
We think that the devil is in charge of everything that comes our way that is bad. But sometimes it's just judgment. Sometimes it's just condemnation. Because you were so full of judgment and you were so full of condemnation that God brought them your way. Then it says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And you know, it's so hard for people to hand out forgiveness. But it's so easy for them to say, oh, please forgive me.
Right.
Forgive me. You know, even though I've done you really, really bad.
Yes.
But forgive me. It's me, after all. It's me. I'm important. Forgive me. It says, give and it shall be given to you. Give. You know, people are so afraid of giving. They're afraid of giving. You know, in our history, in the church, we have heard so many stories of people giving this amount or that amount or their last amount or this or that. On and on, we have heard stories and stories and stories of how they trusted the Lord to supply their needs. But you know what? I wonder how much of that is going on today. To where God can just pluck it out of our hands and say to us, don't worry, just trust me. And he just plucks it out of our hands. Or are we so busy, we feel a little tug about something, and we go to justifying. Well, you know, I've got that bill coming, I've got this, and I've got that. And oh, you know, that'll happen, and then, you know, surely, you know, the devil's just trying to probably get me all confused and this, that. See, because it's all about me. It's all about me. And we're being judged because we're not having any mercy on somebody else that doesn't have enough money, just like you won't have enough. We always say, oh, if I could trade places with you, I would. But we really don't mean that. Think about it. You really don't mean that. Because you could trade places with them. You could be the one that can't pay the bill, your bills, and you could give them the money to pay theirs, and you have now traded places with them.
Right.
So how wonderful is that? Now I will trust the Lord for mine. I can actually trade places with them.
Yeah.
I can actually do something to be a blessing to them. But no, mercy. See, God, no matter what it cost him, he had mercy. Cost his only son. Heaven was without Jesus for all that time. Oh, Lord, help us. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, it says. Good measure. Does it say, and then it says pressed down and shaken together. You know, if somebody said, they had all this money spread out in a big crumpled heap on the floor, and they said, I'm going to give you this little container, and as much as you can get in there, you can have. I'm telling you, we could do some real pressing down. But God expects us to press down like that for Him. He expects us to use our money like that for Him. It's to where it presses down. You know, where He can go in and He can just, and He can just take a little bit more. And then He can take a little bit more. And it's still got a little bit, I can take a little bit more. And we won't be saying, oh Lord, I'm not going to be able to, or this or that is going to happen. No, we just be saying, Lord, I told you it was yours. Now I'm going to prove it. It's yours. We all like to tell God that all of these things we have are His. All of these things we own are His. Until somebody wants to borrow it, or until somebody needs a hand, you know, a hand, until all these things are, oh, my strength, I'm so glad for my health and everything. And then somebody calls and says, oh, you know what, we're moving today and we need somebody to help us cart and carry. And you're thinking, oh, this is my only day of rest. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And here we're going to have the conclusion of the whole matter. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Whatever you meet out, this mercy that you meet out on other people, this love, compassion, because that's what mercy is, love and compassion, all those things all mixed together. Whatever you give to your fellow man, that is what God is going to give for you. Why do some people have it more harder in life? It's not always because of this, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's because of the things we have on hand and how we're treating our fellow man and how we're so quick to not show mercy to others, but we want everybody to show mercy to us. Yes. Help us. Bless us. So mercy's yardstick is how we treat others. Yes. However we treat them is how God will treat us, how He will bring it back to us. Yes. We're only going to reap what we sow. So if we sow all these negative things, we're going to get back negative things. God is so merciful. But we're going to have to be measured up. Jesus is the perfect yardstick. See, we need to be able to stand with Him. You know how you take your children sometimes and you put them back to back and you put a ruler over their head to see which one is taller? Okay, Jesus is always going to be taller. He's always going to be taller. But we're supposed to be measuring up against Him. Yes. We're supposed to be measuring up against Him. Yes. And doing it like He did it. And having the same mercy that He had on us. We're supposed to be handing that out. It says in the Bible, His mercy endureth forever. Does our mercy endure forever? Or does it stop somewhere? Okay, this is the last time I'm doing this. This is the last time, this or that. You hear people say these all the time. Did Jesus' mercy run out? Did it run out on us? Oh, He kept coming and coming and coming and coming. He did. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Amen.